This may seem ancient history on Ukraine, but just 3 years ago, the American president froze $400 million in military aid to Ukraine and its new president, Volodymyr Zelensky. President Trump, as you recall, held up the money unless Zelensky's government looked into Joe Biden's connections in Ukraine. And that call led to impeachment. President Trump also regularly criticized NATO and praised Vladimir Putin. Let's talk about this and the historical and political backdrop with historian Julian Zelizer at Princeton University. Julian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So Trump and Putin spoke at a joint press conference in 2018 about accusations that Russia interfered in the U.S. election. Let's listen.
People came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
So as we remember, Trump takes Putin's side. Did his relationship with Putin help to embolden Vladimir Putin on the world stage?
Well, I think there's many observers who believe it was part of the story. Even though the president, former president, maintained sanctions on Russia, he had many favorable statements, including that moment where he would often side with Putin over the nation's own intelligence community. So that was a gap where Putin clearly saw cracks in American politics over Russia, a weak defense of NATO, and statements that clearly would embolden any leader.
Yeah. And conversely, do you sense that Donald Trump, when he was president, hurt Ukraine? We remember him calling Zelensky in 2019, withholding money unless Zelensky and his government did him a domestic political favor.
Well, that was the heart of the first impeachment. Here was a new president already worried about Russia's intentions in Ukraine because of what happened in 2014. And yet the president was withholding aid and withholding a meeting with him because he wanted political dirt of on his opponent or future opponent, Joe Biden. So that did not suggest a firm commitment, nor did the former president's vacillation and critical statements about NATO, which obviously is the key alliance to try to contain this threat.
Mm-hmm. So today, given Donald Trump's control over the party, where does this leave the GOP on Ukraine and Russia?
Well, it's certainly a political problem. We've seen since this started a few weeks ago, opinion within the GOP, within the electorate, has moved back to a pretty firm stance against Russia and what Russia is doing. But there's now a long record of statements from leaders of the Republican Party, including the former president, that go against that and that will be a part of the discussion of how we got to this moment. So I think it's a political problem, and it's hard for them to recreate Ronald Reagan's firm kind of anti-communism of the 1980s because on Russia, the party is currently divided.
Well, historically, Republicans, as you mentioned, have accused Democrats of being weak on foreign policy. Are you sensing it will not work this time?
I don't know if it will work. I think the Republicans have to deal with their own internal divisions. President Biden has been pretty firm on the issue, and he's receiving good approval ratings. So I think if Republicans go after him, they will do it through secondary issues, meaning they will focus on gas prices, for example, or they will focus possibly on why no kind of greater military support. But overall, I think Biden's in a position where it's going to be tough for the Republicans to go after him on this.
Well, as you mentioned that, I think about Jimmy Carter, who was president when Russia invaded Afghanistan and during the Iran hostage crisis, and he was branded weak on foreign policy by the Republicans. Julian, can you give us some presidential context here? How have past American presidents, since the Cold War ended, promoted the eastward expansion of NATO and how that's played into Putin's worldview?
Well, until recently, or certainly until the 1990s, support for NATO and international alliances was a pillar of American foreign policy, and it was a foundation to the bipartisan consensus that existed on how to deal with the Soviet Union. We've seen since then an erosion of support for NATO that's changed the dynamics in the GOP.
Julian Zelizer is a historian at Princeton University, and he's edited a new book, The Presidency of Donald J. Trump, a First Historical Assessment, coming out in April. Julian, thank you.
Thanks for having me.